with you some things today relating to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Okay, what better parsha is there to talk about the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach? Okay, everything I'm telling you is coming today from the Sefer Gyoni Halacha by Harav Aryeh David Wasserman. He has a beautiful piece on the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He first starts out by talking something which is a little bit unrelated about the chilek between Noach and Avraham Avinu. Noach was ish tzaddik tamim hoya b'dayrosav. Noach did not pray for his generation. Noach only prayed for himself. Noach was saved, but he did not manage to save his generation. Unlike Avraham Avinu, who went out to save the world, es hanefesh asher osu v'charon. Also, who else prayed for them? Who are the other people that we contrast Noach? We contrast Noach with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saved the entire Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. Another interesting example is Gidoin. Gidoin said to the Malach, he was mispalel for Klal Yisrael. He prayed for Klal Yisrael, and the Malach said to him, Lech b'choychacho zeh, V'choshato es Yisrael miyad midyon. What does it mean? Lech b'choychacho zeh. So according to some of the commentators, the koyach means the koyach of being mispalel and being mevakesh rachamim on behalf of other people. That koyach, with that koyach,
you. Was more than that. He challenged the Malach.
How could it be? What is it? Klal Yisrael, exactly. So this is another person to whom we contrast. Can you have just the idea? You have Noach versus Avraham versus Moshe versus Gidoin. Then there's a very nice drush he has. The drush is Sheker Hachein VeHevel Hayoifi. Who's the Chein? Noach Motza Chein BeEinei Hashem. Sheker Hachein. The Chein didn't accomplish very much because Noach did not save his generation. So even though the parsha last week concluded v'noyach motza chein b'nei Hashem, nu sheker hachein. What did the chein do for us? The whole world was destroyed. But who was good? Hevel is Cain versus Hevel. Cain, Hevel brought a carbon which was accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'yel minchasoy. So Sheker Achein veHevel, Hevel Hayoifi. Hevel is Yoifi. And Isha Yiras Hashem he Tisalel. Who is the Isha? Who is the best of them all? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he's called the Isha. Why is he called the Isha? I'm not sure. But Tnu Lami Priyodecha Vayhalalu Abashem Asecha, he saved. Isha Moshe, Isha Moshe. Okay, he saved the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. Now, what are the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? What indeed are they? So the answer is, the Sheva Mitzvos are, give me one second, Dinin. The first one is Dinin Mishpatim. You have to set up a justice system. Number two, Birchas Hashem. Okay, to be Bevorich, it's a euphemism for a curse. Birchas Hashem. Number three is Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, idolatry. Gilui Arayis, adultery. What? Oh, there is? Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Okay, whatever. Here's the order. Dinim, I'm not familiar. Doesn't mean that down. Dinim, it's a Gemara. This is a Gemara, Mesechta, Sanhedrin, Daf Nunvav, Tanur Rabbanon, Sheva Mitzvos Ben Nistah B'nei Noach, Dinim, Birchas Hashem, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shvich Hastamim, Gezel, Ve'Eiver Min HaChai. Okay, and these now we're going to see in a moment, and it's a very beautiful drush. Then and all seven of these, the generation of Noach were in violation. Now let's first, where do you derive the source? Where do you see in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the B'nai Noach to observe specifically these seven mitzvahs? So this is a Gemara. It's a very beautiful Gemara. Listen to me, the Gemara. Shama Rabbi Yochanan, Diyamakra. By Yitzav's Kedai to know, this week's parasha, there's Noach, Sheva Mitzvahs. It's the beginning of last week's parasha. It goes back to last week's parasha. The pasuk describes the eating from the Eitz Hadas. Eating of By Yitzav Hashem Elokim, Al HaAdam, Lamar, Mikol Eitz HaGon Ochol Tochel, Now, what does this pasuk mean? Okay, again, pasuk simply says, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimar mikol eitz hagan ochol tochel." Now, let's go one word at a time. Vayitzav, Hashem gave a commandment. The Gemara makes a drasha. The word Vayitzav is a code word for the commandment to observe dinim, to establish a system of justice. How do I know that? Where do you get the word tzav to mean justice? V'cheinu oimer ki yidativ leman asher yitzaveh es bonav acharav. The word vayitzav is used in reference to Avraham Avinu, in reference to the fact that he will command his children to observe Hashem's commandments. So he basically makes like a gezer shava. It says vayitzav, and it says the word vayitzav in reference to mishpatim by Avraham Avinu. But mainly we know that we're referring to dinim. Next, what's the next word of this pasuk? Vayitzav Hashem. The word Hashem automatically refers to Birchas Hashem, a person Rachman Litzani cursed Hashem, Mechino Oimer, V'nikev Shem Hashem, Mos Yumos. Okay, Hashem Elokim. Elokim is a code word for Avodah Zarah. V'chino Oimer, Lo Yelcha Elohim, Acherim Alponai. The next word is Al Ha'odom. Those words are code words for Zushvichas Tomim. V'chenu aimer shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam yishofech leimar. The last word leimar zegili arayus. V'chenu aimer leimar. It's in Yirmiyah. Leimar. The pasuk begins the word leimar. Hein yishalach ish es ishtoy v'holcha mibeiso v'hoysol ish acher. The pasuk in Yirmiyah refers to the concept of arayus. Then when it says mikol eitz hagon ochol meitz hagon, the eitz of the gan. V'legezel, you only can eat what's in the gan. You may not eat what's outside the gan. Ochol tochel, eat, and we make a drasha. V'loy eiver menachai, don't eat. And we make a drasha, only eat. I don't know how that drasha comes into play, but v'loy eiver menachai. So basically, the only thing is to keep in mind is again this week is the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. They're called b'nei noyach, and the source is darshan in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin in the first one, in the beginning of the Torah. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Leimar Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochol Tochel. Each word of this pasuk is used as a source to teach us one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach through Gzeirah Shava. Now, interesting idea from the Ritva. The Ritva says that there's not. Now, the main topic over here is are goyim? Are goyim mechuyev to observe the sheva mitzvahs? Is it a voluntary? It's not voluntary. They have an obligation. Well, now that's part of the question. Are we instructed? We klal Yisrael. Are we instructed, obligated to encourage them, or even force them to observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach? So the fascinating Ritva. The Ritva says that b'zman hazeh the goyim are not mechuyev to do so. The goyim b'zman hazeh can do whatever they want because this halacha only applies when klal Yisrael is dominant. When klal Yisrael is dominant and we are in control and we are calling the shots, then the goyim are obligated to observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach.
And what's that?
Even Eretz Yisrael. This is the symbol of the Ritva.
In Eretz Yisrael, when they took over.
Well, Klal Yisrael's in charge.
Right.
So you want to say that maybe in Eretz Yisrael, since Bizman is that we have sovereignty, the state of Israel, so maybe you're right. Maybe there would be a dargo where the goyim who are living in Eretz Yisrael have an obligation to observe the Zionists. It's an incredible Ritva. The Ritva is saying that Bizman has that since outside of the United States, the Jews don't run the United States, so are the goyim chuyev to observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach? So the Ritva says no. Now obviously a goy can't go around killing people, that's obvious, but if it's not a din of the Zayin, like it's Eivim Menachai. You can talk about Eivim Menachai. That's one of the Zayin mitzvahs. Is a goy mechuyev today not to eat Eivim Menachai? According to the Ritva, no. They're allowed to because we are not dominant. Okay, another interesting question. If a goy does observe the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach, does he get a chelek in Olam Haba? A religious goy. They have, what are they called? The Noahites? If they observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach, do they have a chilek in Olam Haba? So the Rambam says yes. Yes, it's a very popular question that you ask people. Do goyim have a chilek in Olam Haba? Jews call Yisrael yesh lam chilek l'Olam Haba. Seemingly means Yisrael and not a non-Jew. The Rambam says no. A goy also has a chelik l'olam haba. But the kesef, Eliezer, well, that's before Matan Torah. That's already different. Eliezer, Evan Avram, now L'choy was different.
If,
that's,
if the term uses chaside
moso. Oh, so the Rambam indeed says. The Rambam explicitly uses the term chaside umois olam in reference to b'nei noach that observed the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noach. Anyone, any guy that observes the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noach in the Rambam's terminology gets the title, gets the cover of being called the chaside umois olam. You don't need to do an act of heroism to be in the Yad Vashem, to be called from the Chassidei Umar Yisraelim. According to the Rambam, just observing the Zion mitzvahs would be enough. However, there's a very fascinating Kesef Mishnah. I think it's the Kesef Mishnah, no, Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah, based upon an analysis of the words of the Rambam and other sources, says it all depends. The Rambam is only referring to when a Ben Noach does the Zion mitzvahs because he believes it is the command of God. Hashem told the goyim to do these mitzvahs. But if a goy on his own, for his own reasons, a goy happens to be this, all the Zion mitzvahs are logical. You have to have a system of justice. You can't have a land of hefgeris. You can't go around murdering people. You can't go around committing adultery. You can't go around animal cruelty. That's probably the aseres hadibros for the goyim today. Animal cruelty, peta, you know, this is more important today than anything else. You can't go eat animals when they're alive. You can't go take a bite out of a donkey. You have to first put the animal to death. So let's say you have a goy, and there are many goy that are meticulous in their observance of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noach, but not because of the Ribbono shel Olam, because it's just part of society.
Humanitarianism.
It's not going to be a good start if you violate these halachas. So he writes the Magid, these goyim do not. They may be more meticulous in their observance than other goyim who observe because they believe Hashem told you to do so. They're not going to get Olam Haba. To get Olam Haba for observing the Zion mitzvahs, you have to, because you believe in Hashem, and it's Hashem's commandment. Hashem told you to do it. That requires a very powerful belief. Okay, next question. Let's say a goy is in violation. A goy, let's say theoretically, not like the Ritva. If you learn not like the Ritva, a goy mizman hazam mechuyif to do so. Let's say it's brought to their attention, and they decide, you know, we're not going to observe. They're going to go around eating Evim and Achai. So it says, so what is the question? Are they chayiv misa? Is a Jew obligated to kill them? A goy that violates the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach, technically speaking, are chayiv misa. So the truth is, it's not so simple. There are different opinions. If they indeed were mechuyiv to kill them, it's a good thing to kill them, but we're not obligated to kill them, or adrabah, it's not our business to interfere and to take their lives unless they are a danger to society. It's a very big disagreement. Some want to make a deacon different expressions of the Rambam. Some, you have a halach, for example, you have a halach that says that a goy that learns Torah is chayiv misa. And then you have an expression that a goy that's over on gezel, or over on the Zayin mitzvah is nerak. Whenever the Rambam or the Gemara uses the word nerag, which is a term that is used by the Zion mitzvahs, it means indeed they are executed. Wherever it says the word they're chayiv misa, that's a more delicate expression. It means they have done a severe crime, but it's not our business to kill them. It's Hashem's business. So that's the thing to be aware of, the word nerag, or chayiv misa. Chayiv misa. Now, there's another very big question of mishpatim. Because mishpat, from all the chazayim mitzvahs b'nei noach, think about it, they're all lo sases. You go back to the list. Let's go back to the list of the Zion mitzvahs. Birchas Hashem. So lo sases. Don't, rachmona litzlan, utter a curse. Avodah zarah. Don't worship. Gil yarayah. Shvichas dam. Gezel. Evim menachai. There's only one of the Zion mitzvahs that is a positive commandment, and that is dinim, to establish a system of a justice system. So that's the very important thing in the sugya. Whenever you learn the sugya of the Zion mitzvah, is to be aware of the distinction between dinim, which is a positive command, the goyim also a positive mitzvahs, and there are lois. We have 365 lois assays and 248 positive. They have six negative and one positive. So some want to make a distinction that for a loisa say there's a chiyuv misa, but for an asay then there's no chiyuv misa. If a guy fails to establish a society, they fail to establish a system of justice, and there's corruption in mishpat, that is a violation of an asay to have shoftim v'shoytim, so
to
speak.
That's an individual responsibility. That's
community. On the community. Let's say the individual has a choice of going to court. He has an issue, he takes the law into his own hands. So that's also a partial violation. These are also other issues. Okay, that's some interesting idea to be aware of. And there's another idea that we count them as seven, but you should be aware that some of the places of the Gemara also, there's a Gemara that says that the goyim were given 30 mitzvos. So the big debate is, how do we reconcile the number 7 with the number 30? The common answer is that there are a list of 30, but the 30 are broken down into 7 categories. The 7 are the klalim, which branch into 30 paratim, 30 pratim. Okay, next interesting question. Are you allowed to give classes, open up a seminary to teach the goyim, the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach? Open up, put up a shingle outside your shul. We have classes for the B'nai Noach. Come Monday morning, we're going to teach you the Zion Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Exactly. How else will they know? How else will they know? So there's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam wrote Tshuvas. In addition to the Rambam writing the Mishneh Torah, Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam also wrote, and many letters, we have letters from the Rambam, but the Rambam wrote a collection of Shailos and Tshuvas, Shut. Shailos u'tshuvos. And there in the Shailos u'tshuvos of the Rambam, he writes an incredible chiddush. He makes a distinction between teaching Christians and teaching Muslims. He says, Muslims you can teach, but Christians you cannot teach. Fasting. Why? Because Christians, I'm sorry, all the way around. Big difference. Christians you can teach, Muslims you cannot teach. Why? Because when you teach them the Zion Mitzvah B'nei Noach, it's all based upon what's in the Torah. I mean, they observe from before Matan Torah, we observe after Matan Torah, but the rules are related. When you teach a Christian a halacha from Shulchan Aruch, you translate for them the Shulchan Aruch and you teach them, you give them an art scroll Gemara, and the art scroll Gemara has an elaborate exposition based upon the Pasuk in Chumash, so they're going to say, really? That's how you interpret the Pasuk in Isaiah? We have a different interpretation of that Pasuk. But one thing they all have in common, the Rambam writes this with the Christians, they at least believe that the Old Testament came from God. They have a corrupted interpretation of the Old Testament.
The Hebrew Bible.
Corrupted. The Hebrew Bible corrupted beyond, that's an understatement, corrupted. But at least the fundamental belief is it came from God. It did come from God. There's no doubt about that. Therefore, the Rambam says, tell them the truth. Maybe it'll sink in. They're corrupt, they're brainwashed, they have crazy understandings of what it says in the Torah. But you never know. Maybe as they age, they get mature, maybe they'll come around to see that, you know what, our interpretation is correct. But the Rambam writes, the Muslims don't even believe, this is the Rambam, I don't know anything about theology, about the Muslims and the Christians, but the Rambam writes that the Muslims don't even believe that Chamishei Chumshei Torah is divine. It's not, Torah is Lav Min HaShemayim. Anyone that comes along today and suggests that Torah is Lav Min HaShemayim, any Bible critic is identifying with the Muslims. Because the Muslims do not believe it came in Hashem. Therefore, whatever you're going to tell them a pshat in the Pasuk of the Torah, even if they're going to accept it to be, this is the halacha, this is how we have to understand, they're going to put its foundation of the halacha in something that they don't even believe came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's incredible that he gives the Christians more weight in this matter than he gives the Muslims. I just want to point out something interesting, because there's a shla.
Persecuted under the Christians.
Very, very fascinating.
Welcome.
What about
the shla writes that if you go a church, let's say you have a Christian who's davening. A Christian, he's in the airport, so he starts praying. Are you allowed to walk in front of him? No, if someone's davening Shemona Esrei, are you allowed to walk in front of Dalet Amos, a person's walking davening Shemona Esrei? No. You're not allowed to walk in front of a person who's davening, he's Oymel Lefnei HaMelech. Let's say you're in the airport and there's a Christian that's praying. Okay, he's doing whatever he's doing. He's putting his hands together. Who knows what he's doing? Are you allowed to walk in front of him? Yes. Because Torah, we don't acknowledge his prayer to have any significance. Because a Christian is probably, he's worshipping Yashka. He's worshipping a man who he believes is a Shita, which is father is the Ribbono Shel Olam. His mother is human being Shituf. So therefore, this is nonsense. This prayer, he's praying to a deity, just to walk in front of him, it's nonsense. But if a Muslim, would you believe this? You go, they put out their shmat, the carpets, and they start bowing down in the airport. Do you know that you're not allowed to walk in front of them? A halacha?
Who says it?
The Shla. The Shla says that kind of Dalet Amos, you're not allowed to walk in front of them when they daven. When they put out their carpet and they get down on their knees and they start doing whatever they're doing, you're not allowed to walk in front of them. The same way you cannot walk in front of a person who's davening Shemona Esrei, who's davening, you're not allowed to walk in front of a Muslim because the Muslims daven to Hashem. Allah is Hashem. They're davening to Hashem. They're crazy. Okay, don't. What they're doing, what?
Monotheism.
They believe in Hashem. So therefore, look at this. Mitzat fila, as I want to make this observation. Mitzat fila,
yeah.
The Muslims got one up over the Christians. Mitzat Torah, who has one up over the Muslims? The Christians. L'may nafkamina, you can teach, you can give classes, Christians only. We're giving the classes to teach you about the Zayin Mitzvah Noach, but Christians only. Muslims are not accepted because if a Muslim will come and hear halacha, very interesting. What's the source? The Bible. Oh, the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? I don't know. Not God. So therefore, they're going to root the teaching in something which they're not going to believe came from the source, if you're not allowed to teach. This is the chidush of the Rambam in his Shilas and Shuvas. Now, some disagree. There are many who disagree with this. They hold that the same way you're not allowed to teach the Muslims, you're not allowed to teach the Christians either. Not everyone agrees with the Rambam. You're not allowed to teach because they have a perverted understanding of the Bible. Their perverted understanding of the Bible is so great that whatever you're going to teach them, they're going to ascribe to Yashka. They're going to ascribe to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, don't even bother.
Okay. Who are those people?
Yeah.
Who want to follow precisely the Sheva Mitzvot? They don't want Giyur.
If they come to you,
but they want to abandon.
Yeah.
You know, their
right. That's practice. Ideal. That's ideal. The Rambam describes in great detail what they have to do. There's the very beginning of the Rambam. The Rambam says in order that they observe, they have to be a Kabbalah. They have to accept upon them. You know, it's almost like Geirus. When a person becomes a Geir, typically Bizman Hazeh, even in Geirus, even the best Geirim today, after they've been training for 2-3 years, they don't know everything. In fact, many Geirim today that are accepted by even the very right-wing Bati Dinim, Bizman Hazeh, They accept Geirim who are very ignorant of halacha. Very ignorant. The thing that a Bezin is looking for is sincerity in willing to grow. You know the basics. Many Geirim don't even know how to daven. They barely know how to daven. They barely know how to read Hebrew. They want to become Jewish. Many times because they want to marry someone. Okay? They want to become Jewish because they want to marry someone. So that if you want to marry someone, that's a suspect. You want to marry, it's not sincere. So they give them a workout. They make them learn a little Hebrew, halacha. And if the Bezin can detect sincerity, that you really want to become part of Klal Yisrael and you're going to continue to study, that is good enough. That same exact concept is used by a Ger Toshav. In order for a person to earn the title of a Ger Toshav, he has to accept upon himself to observe the Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach. There's a lot to learn, a lot to practice. It's not so easy to do the Zayin Mitzvot properly. It could take a lot of time, but there has to be a sincere Kabbalah. And the Rambam writes, you have 12 months to be true to your word. If you accept to learn the Zayin Mitzvot, Bezin watches the person for 12 months. If after 12 months they see that he's not following the rules, he's out. He's not called the Ger Toshav. But even if he's not following, as long as the Kabbalah, we give him up to 12 months to be sincere in the Kabbalah. So that's a very interesting rule, 12-month rule when it comes to being Mekabel Ger Toshav. Okay, fascinating Shaila. This, I love this Shaila. This is a Gval de Shaila. A Ger Toshav is Mechuyv, the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, right? Avraham and Achai is one of them. What happens if it's Pikuach Nefesh? Is a Goy allowed to be over on the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noyach because of Pikuach Nefesh? Now a Jew, Shabbos, it's Shabbos today, but I want to join Hatzalah. I want to go on Hatzalah call. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? Of course. Everyone knows you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. Is a Goy allowed to violate his seven mitzvahs for Pikuach Nefesh? Someone is starving. If I'm not going to eat Avraham and Achai, I'm going to die. I'm starving to death. I want to eat Avraham and Achai. Maybe by a Goy, the rules of the Zayim Mitzvah B'nei Noach, let's say Agili Arayis. Okay, Agili Arayis. So a Jew, it's the Gimel Averes Chamur, it's really not a good example. But let's say Mishpatim, Dinim, you have to have a court of law. Let's say if I go to a court of law, my life is in danger for whatever reason. The person warned me, if you go to court, the court's a good court, but my opponent or someone, if you go to court, I'm going to kill you. So maybe the rules, the exemption of Pikuach Nefesh does not apply to a guy with regard to his observance of the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Now what you would say, of course, Doug, if a Jew can be violate a halacha for Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach, for Tayag Mitzvos, so halachas kama v'kama. It's not so simple, because you have to know the source. Why is a Jew allowed to violate a mitzvah for Pikuach Nefesh? So the Gemara in Masechta Yoma gives seven reasons. A very complex Gemara, Yoma Daf Pehei, seven reasons. Now get a load of this. Six of those seven reasons are derived from halachos that are 100% unique to Jews. Shabbos, Bris Milah. I don't have everything here in front of me. The six of the seven reasons are unique to things that are only that relate to Jews, but Goyim, and therefore, if not for these seven reasons, even a Jew would not be allowed to violate any mitzvah, even for Bikuach Nefesh. It's only because we have seven different reasons, which six of them relate to something that's Shabbos. A guy doesn't observe Shabbos. Bris Milah. A guy doesn't have Bris Milah. What are the examples to say over here? The Karbonos. We learn from the Karbonos. Goyim don't bring Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash like we bring. What else? Milah, Bris Milah we mentioned. Shabbos. Okay. Different circuit from Shabbos. A lot of Shabbos drushes. So what about a guy? So the only reason, this is an amazing idea, the only reason why a guy is allowed is because of the seventh reason, or one of the seven reasons is Ba Bimachteres. The Torah says explicitly that if you are in your home, you're sleeping in your bed, and all of a sudden you hear a robber next door. There's someone coming to rob you. Are you allowed to kill him? Maybe he's not going to kill me. Maybe he's just coming to steal my wallet. So the Pasuk says that if you discover there's someone that's burrowing into your home, is digging into your home, you are allowed, without any questions, to get up and kill him. Because he may come to kill you. How are you allowed to kill him? But killing is Ritzicha. It's Ritzicha. Haba lo hargucha. Hashkeim lo hargo. So you see, from Baba Machteres, the person who comes and borrows into your home, we learn the source that for Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to violate even an Avera Chamura of Shvichas Damim. Shvichas Damim is one of the big three. But if he's going to come to kill you, if it's your Pikuach Nefesh is at stake, you're allowed to come lo hargo. This is the only one of the seven reasons that has nothing to do with something that is unique to laws that apply specifically to Klal Yisrael. The other six relate to Shabbos, Bris Milah, and Korbanos. Six reasons relating to those three. Those are unique to Jews, not to Goyim. But the seventh reason, the Baba Machteres, someone's coming to kill you, Hashkim Lahargucha, it's universal. So that's the source. The goyim need to come on. The reason why they are allowed to violate their seven laws in order to save their own life under certain circumstances is derived from the halach in the Torah of ba. Ba-mach-teres. Okay, one last yisod is dvaram shutim, is that when we observe as Jews the seven mitzvos, we're not observing it midin noach. It was re-given to us midin matan Torah. And that's shown the pasuk Torah tzivolanu Moshe. Moshe gave us the whole Torah, which includes the Zion mitzvos. Moirasha ki hilas Yaakov. By Klal Yisrael, the segment is a Moirasha. It's given to us to be the Moirasha from Moshe. Everyone else, the goyim, when they observe the Zion mitzvahs, they're observing it midin Adam Harishon and Noach. It's not the same, and that's why there are many different examples where the halachas are not the same. For example, abortion. An abortion. If a person needs to have an abortion, who should do the abortion? So, for a Jew should do the abortion. If you have a choice to go have abortion by a Jewish doctor or by a non-Jewish doctor, just go to a Jewish doctor. Because by a Jewish doctor in halacha, the baby is not called a baby until it comes out. When it's inside, it's not called a human being. But by a non-Jew lehalacha, by a ben noach, it's called a human being even when it's a fetus. So if a person needs to have an abortion, according to doctor's rules, it's preferred that the one that administers the abortion should be the non-Jew, because a non-Jew should be the Jew, because the Jew is doing absolutely nothing wrong. If the non-Jew would be doing the abortion, he would be violating one of the Sheva mitzvahs ben noach. Of course, not also because it's pikuach nefesh, but when everything is the same, you should do it in a way that is more permitted. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.